Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Fantasy Hockey Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get $100. Do this at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. And welcome in to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast presented by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am your host, Justin Bruni. Joining me, as always, is my brother and co-host, Nick Olzak. How are we doing, sir?
Doing good, doing good. Had a little break off over the holidays from the show, but glad to be back now. A lot of action to catch up on. Got the win last week in fantasy, which is huge. Going to, I believe, 5-2 now. And so, yeah, really excited. I know you lost in a nail biter, but looking forward to a good week of fantasy.
I had a hot start in fantasy hockey past couple of weeks. I'm just getting smacked around. It's been brutal, man. Mm-hmm. In our league, you know, it's a points league, and you know, I think I lost by like 10 or 15. So it was something close. Mm-hmm. I lost on Sunday. I went into Sunday with a lead, and then in my categories league, man, it's been brutal. It has been awful. Last week, I took a 9-1 loss from the guy in first place, and I was in second, and I was like, oh, this will be a good matchup. No, I got hammered. It was bad. So far this week, it's also a bad start. I'm losing like 8-2. So we need to get stuff turned around. And that team is stacked. That team is absolutely – Connor McDavid, David Pasternak, you know, just two top.
Yeah, don't you
players.
Like have Zibby in there too? Yeah, you got to
– Yeah. Well, Mika, like Mika's been cold. Like, yeah, I hold Mika Zibanejad to a higher standard. But he's not playing to, like, you know, the Connor McDavid, the David Pasternak type of, you know, production, right? Like, he's not playing like a top five player. That roster, I have guys that are, like, at the top of the charts. I don't know what's going on. Definitely goaltending issues. I'll definitely say that. But we're back. You know, we did take off last week. Me and Nick were hanging out on Thanksgiving. The fam came and visited, so was super appreciative of that. But we are back to talking hockey this week. I know that you had the week off for college. Anything upcoming for the ONU team you want to share?
No games this weekend. Next weekend, we travel down to Indianapolis to play Butler University. I don't think they've won any games on the year, but they're also playing a lot harder teams. And we've played, they're playing Purdue, IU, Trine University, Notre Dame. So they're playing some good schools. So it's going to be a good test for us.
All right, good stuff. Well, let's dive in. Tonight we are going to be touching on some trending goaltenders, some hot goalies. We haven't done that in a few weeks, so we definitely want to check in on some guys that are producing. So let's just dive right into it here. Our first guy up is red hot with the red hot New Jersey Devils, Vitek Vanacek. The dude is just cleaning up wins. He's got 14.17 fantasy points per game in his last 8 starts. Are you betting on Vitek to finish as a top 5 goalie this year? Is this someone that you're willing to go out and make a trade for? Or if you own him, are you looking to maybe sell him for like a missing piece on your roster? Are you holding or selling, Nick?
Right now, I'm definitely holding. New Jersey's hot, and I don't think there's any reason to let go of the hot hand when you have it. And yeah, the New Jersey team has been solid as a whole, and their goaltending has really contributed to that. Vanacek, been really good too. And I've also been fortunate too, if you're looking for a streaming option, to get Akira Schmid, Vanacek's backup. Because yeah, this team does not, they're not losing hockey games right now. And so there's not really many other better goalies than Vanacek right now. And so I would definitely hold on to him for sure. They're beating a lot of really good teams in the Rangers, Toronto, Calgary. They've always been really good. So yeah, a lot of upside for Vitek Vanacek. Definitely someone I would hold for the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins out of his last 8 starts. And across those 8 games, he only allowed more than 2 goals twice. I'd like to see a little bit more in the save column. I mean, always great when your defense in front of you is playing well and limiting the amount of opportunities. But we're talking fantasy hockey here. We want to see, you know, some guys that are making, you know, those high quantity saves to crank up the save percentage. And obviously, you know, we want to low goals against, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers here. I'm good with holding them. I definitely have some sells on this list. So of this group, I think Vitek is a hold. I'm also a Devils fan as well as a Blackhawks fan. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. I have high prospects for this club going forward. They've only lost one game, I believe, in their last 11. Yep, one game in their last 11. That was to Toronto. It was a 2-1 loss. And before that, they had won, I believe, 13 straight. So they've got the streak going again. They're now back at 3 in a row. I love this upcoming schedule. Nashville, Philly, Chicago, the Islanders, a little bit of a tougher matchup on the 9th of December. But these next 3 games, definitely an opportunity to feast. And Akira Schmid, who you had mentioned, he's day to day. So I'm guessing that Vitek is going to get the bulk of these next handful of starts. So definitely someone I'm prioritizing right now. If you have the opportunity to go out and buy him, if you are struggling and maybe you have some extra offense that you can divvy up to get yourself back a solid goalie, I like Vitek for the rest of this season. It was a great pickup by the Devils. Vanacek had a great start to his career with the Capitals. It's kind of weird that they didn't hang on to him. I don't know if it was just like, hey, you know, we don't want to pay you type of situation, or there was some scouting that they had that said, hey, nah, this guy stinks. It looks damn good in Devils red. So keep firing up some Vanacek and try to go get yourself some shares if you can. The next guy up is Matt Murray, also red hot, not with the Devils, but with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He has 4 straight wins and 5 out of his and 5 wins out of his last 6 starts. Excuse me. His save totals are a lot higher than Vanacek, so his points are there. What are you feeling with Matt Murray right now? Is this kind of you know, like a flash in the pan type of production, or are you trusting him for the rest of the season with the Leafs?
I wouldn't trust him for the rest of the season as of right now, because I do know that the Leafs have Ilya Samsonov on IR, and so he could very well come back during the year and steal the starter's job back from Matt Murray. Because when they set this team up in the offseason, the purpose was for it to be Samsonov's net and for Murray to be the backup, and from what I gathered at least. And I think that could be a very good possibility. And so with that being said, I think that gives Matt Murray really good sell value as of right now, playing on a good Toronto Maple Leafs team that's winning hockey games and getting a lot done. I also think that, I think Murray would be a good pickup. And one of the things that, you know, gives you a case to sell him a little bit, he's gone through a lot of injuries. We saw it earlier this year. We saw it a little bit last year. And, he's a very injury-prone player. He gets injured a lot. And so definitely something I would keep in mind. But, yeah, definitely a sell for me.
I'm torn between the two, because I hear you with Samsonov coming back. Health always a concern, but if he's healthy right now, I feel like even if Samsonov comes back tomorrow, it's his net. Like, this production is really good. I mean, the wins are there. First off, I mean, I know the Maple Leafs are a great regular season team, but secondly, the saves are there. So their defense is not playing well. Out of these last 6 starts that I'd mentioned, he has taken over 30 shots in 5 out of 6 of them. And he has over 30 saves in 5 out of those 6. Just one of those games, he had a 40 save game. That was the last game up against Detroit. Like, they're letting on 44 shots on net against Detroit. I mean, I know it's on the road, but come on, you know, like it's really tough to gauge the situation, because those factors that you brought up, I feel they're very variable. Like Samsonov, when he returns, and then you have the injury factor in there. I mean, if it doesn't cost you a lot, I would be willing to go out and buy him. I don't think you can sell him, because, you know, right now he's just red hot. It's going to be difficult to get a price back. But if he's on a roster where, you know, someone has just, you know, him as an extra goalie, you know, on top of a couple of studs. Again, this is a situation where I feel good moving off a trending defenseman, moving off a trending forward, and, you know, I'm backing myself up in net. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I need goalies bad right now. I need some goalie love.
And yeah, to kind of contribute to that too, the Maple Leafs defense is picked to shreds right now. Morgan Riley out, Jake Muzzin out, TJ Brody out, Jordy Benn out. And so you're looking at a situation where your first D pair is Mark Giordano and Justin Hull. So that definitely attests to all the shots the goalies are seeing out there. And yeah, their defense is just a shell right now. There's nothing really there. And Giordano leading the way, the, you know, spry age of 38 years old. And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot of issues in Toronto.
Yeah, Giordano getting it done. He's making the league minimum, playing like the most minutes. So I don't remember what the stat was, but I saw that on Twitter. It was an absolutely crazy set of numbers, like what he's getting paid, you know, per shift, per minute in comparison to the rest of the league. Like, Giordano, just that dog. I'm loving him right now. So, yeah, along with that, like, you see, you know, those injuries, you see logistically they don't look good. And then you look at Murray's numbers and you're just like, wow, like what happens when they put a really good defense in front of them? And I think that's what really kind of overloads them to the buy column. Like, again, like if you can afford that loss on your roster to boost up some other area like offense or defense, I'm all for it. But he's a big buy candidate for me. I think, like I said, I'm kind of torn because it needs to be the right situation for you. But again, like, this production is very viable. And if those guys come back and they're healthy and they continue to, you know, get the same level of offense, he's going to be solid. Because, like you said, four wins in a row out of his last four starts and five out of his last six. So there's a lot of good stuff here. All right. This next guy up, we have a little bit more difficult to gauge what he's going to do night in and night out. Karel Vejmelka, what are your thoughts on his production right now?
His production's solid. He's getting a lot of points, seeing a lot of shots. But for me, down the stretch, the wins just aren't there. I can't see myself really getting around to him personally. I know in a deeper league, someone that's going to see all those shots and get those starts is someone that you want to go out and grab. But for me, with the wins not being there, yeah, it's definitely someone I would pass on. Just as of recently, too, like, I feel like the Coyotes they could kill to score a little bit more goals here. Like, you're looking 1-1-1-2, a few three-goal games. But, yeah, I feel like the team in front of Vejmelka is not good enough for me to want to buy in on him. So he's definitely someone I would sell. And at rank 66, he probably has some value in a lot of deeper leagues. And even at 45% roster, he might very well just be available on your waiver wire, and you might be able to snag him up. I know he's sitting on our waiver wire, and I know a lot of teams like to stream him and get him in just to get starts. But yeah, he's definitely not a long-term hold for me.
Yeah, in category leagues, I'm definitely holding off. In points-based, I think it's fine as a streaming option. And the reason why I'm staying off of him in category is, like you had mentioned, the lack of wins. Like, he just doesn't have the right roster behind him. They did get a win on the 23rd up against Carolina. Of course, in their last 10 games, that was the game that I betted against them, and they won. Love that. Love that. And Karel Vejmelka had a shutout in that game. He actually has two shutouts in his last eight games. He's averaging 14.8 fantasy points through his last eight games, and that's just a number that I expect to fall over time. I don't expect him to maintain this level of production. In those deeper leagues, if you own him, I am trying to move off of him. He is definitely a sell candidate, in my opinion, because I just don't see this being a consistency, you know, throughout the rest of the year. He's still almost averaging three goals against per game. Not good. His save percentage is great, but that's because he takes on so many shots. He's at 91%, 91.6 to be exact. Again, there's a lot of opportunities streaming him. It's just that, you know, you're going to pay for that, those poor games. Like, there's a game on the 17th of this month. He let in four goals. He had 35 saves. He had nine fantasy points. That's great. That's not production that you're going to kick away, right?
Right.
But in a category league, the save percentage isn't there. The goals against are hurting you, and you're not getting the win, right? The shutouts, if those were to be consistent, that would kind of bump up the category leagues. But again, it's just not someone that you're going to be able to rely on. So for that, again, sell candidate, hold candidate in categories, and, you know, he's a buy or a streamer in points based. Next up is the best goaltender in fantasy hockey, Linus Ullmark. Could be a product of just playing for, you know, the Boston Bruins. Even in his games, his last two games that he hasn't won, he still has close to 10 fantasy points. So he has all of the opportunity here to be a top five goalie for the rest of the season. He's only averaging 2 goals against per game, 93.5% save percentage. He's averaging 15 fantasy points per game in his last 7 games. Is this the guy? Like, is he, like, I'm just going to ask you, is he going to finish top five in the goaltending category this year in fantasy?
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. I was going to ask if you think this guy is going to be in the top three for the Vezina Trophy, because yeah, his numbers have been insane right now. And this Boston team, they've been playing solid. And the numbers he's putting up are really similar to Igor Shesterkin's last year. And a lot of these games, he's getting these wins. And yeah, just the shots he's facing and whatnot. Yeah, it looks really similar to Shesterkin last year. So I'm all over Shesterkin. You got to be paying top dollar for him. Definitely someone that's a buy candidate. But you're going to have to give up a lot. That's the trick with it. And no, if you have the, you know, real estate to be able to snag him up.
What I want to bring into this conversation is Jeremy Swayman, because he's healthy now, and we're starting to see, or actually, I don't know if he's gotten a game in yet. I know that he's healthy. Let me pull up his game along here really quick, because Linemark is like, he is the top guy in fantasy hockey right now for goaltending. Okay, so Jeremy Swayman has 3 starts and 2 wins, 5 goals against. It's you know, it's higher, you know, it's up to 2.92 goals against per game, 89% save percentage. I guess he had a start earlier in the year, because I only see these last 3 games. 69% rostered for a guy that's, you know, barely done much. You know, is he going to come in and steal a show? He's starting tonight up against Tampa Bay.
I think tonight against Tampa is going to be a good test for Swayman. No, he's been out for a while, and Ullmark was out for a minute, and he's back. But now Swayman's got to start tonight. And so I think, yeah, against a good Tampa team that plays a really solid brand of hockey, going against Andrei Vasilevsky, thinking it'll be a good test to see where he matches up with them. But as of right now, I think it's still in Boston. It's, you don't really see a lot anymore in the league with the salary cap, but they've got a really good tandem right now. And these guys are really interchangeable. And like, one can have the hot hand, one can be cold, and the team still could be winning games. And so I very well think that Jeremy Swayman could come in and win some hockey games. I don't think he'll steal the show, though, from Linus Ullmark, just because of the numbers that Ullmark's put up so far. It's going to be really hard to him, for him to catch up to those numbers, in a sense.
And, so I'm going to ask you, you know, player A, player B, it'll be goalies, of course, and who you want, who you prefer to have for the rest of the season. Linus Ullmark, Ilya Sorokin.
That's a good question. Right now I would probably have to say, yeah, I'd probably have to go Linus Ullmark right now. I know Ilya Sorokin has been solid, but Linus Ullmark has been on a really good Boston team. And this team, they've shown, even with injuries and whatnot, they started the year really banged up. They can still win hockey games. And, yeah, right now they're doing a good job of it. New York Islanders, I mean, they're good, but I still see a few holes in their lineup that I think could affect the goaltending. And but on the offhand, you have Ilya Sorokin, who I don't think anyone can steal his job. I don't think Varlamov's going to come in and steal the job. But
that's where I was going with the question, was where I was leading to, is that Sorokin should have more starts than Ullmark going forward. Would you agree or disagree?
I would cautiously agree. I think, yeah, just based on what happens in Boston, because Swayman could very well come back and he could play like a backup. We don't know.
So how about Ullmark or Logan Thompson?
Logan Thompson.
Okay. So do you prefer Vegas over Boston in that sense, or something that you see from Thompson over Ullmark?
Right now, I honestly just like the Golden Knights competition more. They're playing a lot of these Pacific teams, and a lot of them haven't been as solid this year, and they're seeing a bulk load of them in their schedule. You're seeing the Anaheims, the San Jose. They've been able to take Vancouver, except they got the last meeting. But yeah, these teams, I feel like Vegas can beat on any given night. Well, with Boston, on the other hand, you got a way harder division where you're going to be playing Toronto, Tampa, Detroit, Florida on a regular basis. And so, yeah, just for the level of competition that I think you're going to be seeing for the majority of the season, I like Thompson on that slight advantage.
Okay, a couple more here. I appreciate the long-winded answers, but you don't have to. Just tell me which player. Next guy, Ullmark or Jake Oettinger?
Probably, I would Ullmark or Ottinger. I would probably have to say Ullmark.
Okay. Ullmark or Andre Vasilevsky?
Ullmark.
Okay. Ullmark or... That might be the last one I have. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the next guy, I'll just peep him. Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, still Ullmark.
Okay. So I would go... I would go Ullmark over Hellebuck. I would go Sorokin over Ullmark. I would go Logan Thompson over Ullmark. I would go Jake Ottinger over Ullmark. And this is all just because I just don't believe it's going to be maintainable throughout the rest of the season. Like, his numbers are great, but he's playing in front of a really good team. You had mentioned the competition from the West in comparison to the East. Like, he's going to be playing in a lot more competitive games. And as the Bruins go on, they're going to build that target on their back. Like, the teams that are coming to play them are going to, you know, finally start to step up. Last one I wanted to ask you. Linus Ullmark or, damn it, I lost it again, Igor Shesterkin.
I would probably, in the early going right now, I would say Ullmark, but that could very well change throughout the year. The Rangers are kind of off to a cold start right now. And so, yeah, just going with based on the hot hand, I'd go Ullmark.
So what like level of like defenseman or forward would you need for, like, say someone offered you, let's say you have Shesterkin and you want to get Ullmark.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like? What type of forward or defenseman would you be willing to pair with Shesterkin?
Let's see. If it was my fantasy team personally, I would say you'd have to be giving up a really big fish. I think you got to be giving up a really big fish to get something like this done. And so I like an Andrei Svechnikov. You could pair in there.
Okay.
A William Nylander, maybe. I think I think for some people, just looking at their recent stats, because a lot of fantasy players, at least generally in our league, I feel like you're just going to look at the recent numbers. You're not going to look down the stretch. And so I think you have to be able to get a really good forward just for someone to say, oh, I think I'm going to win this trade. But at the end of the day, each person, when you accept a trade, everybody has an angle to it.
Right. All right, let's move on because we got kind of caught up with Ullmark there. But he is the best goalie in fantasy hockey right now, so it kind of makes sense. He is averaging 15 fantasy points per game in his last 7 games, so pretty solid. Last guy up here, and then we're going to move over to the waiver wire discussion, is Connor Hellebuck. He's looking really good. He has, 13.8 fantasy points per game in his last 8 starts. It is the lowest of the group here, but in all of fantasy hockey, he's a top 3 goalie. So is he going to maintain that position, or is he going to fall down the board? I'll tell you right now, I'm not buying it. I'm not a big Hellebuck guy. I'm not a big Winnipeg Jets guy. Their offense right now, in my opinion, is hitting at a higher rate than usual, and I feel like that is going to come down at some point.
Yeah, I think I don't think you're wrong there. I think the Central Division is really, really scattered right now. And with the Jets being at the top, I don't think it's going to stay like that all year. I think there's a lot of teams that are going to creep up on their doorstep and catch up to them, and the Jets are going to fall down the standings because you've got teams like Colorado and Minnesota, St. Louis, even Nashville, all sitting behind Winnipeg when, like you said, their offense isn't really something to get excited about, in my opinion. You've got a couple guys up there with Connor, Scheifele, Nikolaj Ehlers is out right now, PLD, Cole Perfetti's been all right. But no, there's just not a lot really that I think gives you a case for Winnipeg. And so, yeah, I definitely would want to sell Connor Hellebuck because, yeah, I don't think with the team in front of him and the teams behind him in the standings and the teams he's going to be playing, I don't think there's going to be a lot of room for him to keep up the numbers. And I see the Winnipeg Jets falling just right outside the wild card if you're talking end of the year here. And yeah, they'll probably be around 500 team.
Yeah. I mean, we just saw them put a hurting on our Blackhawks. They won 7-2. I can't say that I hate it that much because I made money on that game. So appreciate you, Winnipeg. The game before that though, Hellebuck, straight salami meat, 4 goals against. The game before that, 6 goals against. Like, That's not a good sign. Like, when you're looking at a guy that's, like, you know, averaging, what did I say, 13-point fantasy points in his last 8 games, like, those dips to me are kind of a telling sign that we should expect similar games like that to come, you know, especially when they're playing on the road. I know they sat him one game on the road against Seattle, and then he lost on the road against Calgary. So his last road win was against Chicago. They stink. 7-2 win. I mean, they ran up the score on him. The team has scored 12 goals in their last game. I don't buy that level of production to be maintained. That's the biggest thing for me is, and don't get me wrong, like they've looked good all season long scoring. It's just not a regular thing for them. And I'm expecting it at some point to just come down from that level. So just to recap really quick, we both had Vitek Vanacek as a buy, Matt Murray more cautiously, but still a buy, Vejmelka as a sell candidate, Linus Ullmark as a definite buy candidate. And we both have Connor Hellebuyck as a sell candidate. We're going to pay some bills, get a quick word from WinBet, and we'll be right back after this with our waiver wire options. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WinBet. Looking to get involved in a same-game parlay? WinBet is your home with their WinBet Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. WinBet has what you need to win, and if you're ready to play, just sign up and you'll receive a special offer. Bet 100, win 100. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. So they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700. All right, and we're back on the other side here. We're talking the fantasy hockey waiver wire field here, looking at some consistent scoring from players that are actively available in the majority of leagues. First up here, Nick, we've got a couple of Tampa Bay Lightning forwards. We've got Alex Killorn and Brandon Hagel. Based on their recent production, who would you rather own?
It's really hard to say right now. I think they both make a really good case, but I think Brandon Hagel for sure. He is on the first power play right now in the first line, while Killorn is on the second line and second power play, and their stats are both pretty even, and he's got that edge. And one thing I want to point out with this Tampa Bay first power play that drives me nuts is they took Victor Hedman off the first power play unit. And so it's been hurting my fantasy team a little bit. But yeah, Brandon Hagel definitely over Killorn for sure, just with that slight edge of the power play.
I mean, the minutes are definitely there for Hagel. I know that he's averaging more ice time, but if you're playing off of recency bias, the pick is Killorn for me. He's averaging 11.3 fantasy points per game in his last seven. He has 10 points in his last seven games, including 3 goals and 7 assists. The apples are what I'm coming back for here. He's just constantly getting points. I believe he has points in his last 5 out of his last 6, 6 out of his last 7, 7 out of his last 8. So he's really a viable start right now with, you know, some limited playing. I mean, I'm actually looking at it. It's looking a little bit closer. There's been more games where Hagel's gone over like the 20-minute mark, but I mean, it seems pretty close. And if Killorn's up on the second line, for some reason, off the top of my head, I thought he was on the third line. But yeah, I'm just playing him off of recency bias because I don't see myself owning either of these guys long term. Like, I'll lean in to either production if one is available. Don't get me wrong, Hagel, he's looking good too. He has 2 goals and 4 assists in his last 7 games, so it's, you know, almost a point per game. That's nothing to ever kick around, so I like that. But if between the two, I'll lean Killorn again, just because of that, just, you know, a little bit of a higher click rate through the last 7 or 8 games or so here. Next up, we have Dawson Mercer on the red-hot New Jersey Devils. He is a guy that's getting quite a few apples here. He has 7 assists in his last 8 games. Are you buying his production, Nick?
Yeah, his production has been solid throughout the span with the Devils. Like you said, the Devils are red-hot right now. He's got points in four of his last 5 games, only 19% rostered, not much more to say. He's on the New Jersey Devils. They're clicking at a high rate. You get anyone, even the New Jersey Devils top 9, I think you're in a good spot, and I think you'll be in a good spot with Dawson Mercer.
Yeah, I'm loving this team right now. I want to get every bit of the Devils I can. I was very happy to see that they moved Fabian Zetterlund finally down to the third line. That was getting old there for a minute. I believe Dawson Mercer, they moved up to the second line with Jack Hughes and Eric Halla. So if that's a pairing that's going to be continuing going forward, I want every bit of that. Like Jack and Nico are looking super good up the middle right now for the Devils. This is a team that where you want to buy in everywhere you can. Like, there really isn't a name on this roster that I hate. I know I'm a Devils fan, whatever, but you know, you have Andre Palat, who's going to be coming back from the IR at some point. Eric Hall is playing well. Miles Wood is a guy that's, you know, just the engine is always running. They've got Jesper Bratt now on the top line with Thomas Tatar and Nico. Like, they are looking really good. So, and also on the back end, you know, I love guys like John Marino, Ryan Graves that are readily available. I think you were rolling out Ziegenthaler for a while. Is that right?
Oh, that's my guy. I love
that's your guy. That dog. Yeah.
He is a dog. Only 10% roster, too. Buddy is a menace on the blue line. Just to kind of touch on him a little bit. Yeah, 10% roster. And, yeah, he's been getting over at least – he's gotten over 6.8 fantasy points in 5 of his last 6 games. Siegenthaler, he's been a unit. My defense has been struggling, but no more for – because, yeah, we got Jonas Siegenthaler running the whole operation.
I love it. I love it. All right. Before we get too much Devils love, let's move on. I don't think I have any more Devils listed, so we can get off them for a minute. Next up, we have Dylan Cousins of the Buffalo Sabres. I hate picking up Buffalo Sabres. They're the most annoying team to me right now, but this production really isn't anything to kick away. I mean, he's got a couple of bad games here and there, one against New Jersey. Guess I jumped the gun too soon there. And then another against Boston, but they're pretty well separated. I mean, other than those two, misses on the 25th of November and the 12th of November, literally, like, you know, almost what 13 day difference for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, the numbers are there. 2 goals, 4 assists in his last 7, 9.4 fantasy points. Is this someone that you're looking to pick up?
Buffalo is such a flash in the pan, you'll get guys like Jeff Skinner, Tage Thompson, mm-hmm. Dylan Cousins. All these guys take their turn on the waiver wire, take their turn on our show just so we can say, yeah, you know, doing good. You know, if they're doing good, keep them. If not,
You're happy I left Jeff Skinner off the list today.
I am happy you left Jeff Skinner off the list. Yes, because these guys and the Devils are the most, or not the Devils, the Sabres. I don't know. You'll play one game with them and then they'll fall off. And then, there's just nothing really left. And Buffalo isn't a good hockey team. They're just so streaky, and it doesn't make for anything really solid for fantasy. Because my opinion, I'd rather have a player be consistently good or consistently bad. Not this, you know, hey, good here, bad here. Yeah. But he's on the second line there with Jack Quinn and John Jason Paterka, who's like brand new to the league. Jack Quinn, also brand new to the league. Just not a lot of upside for the Buffalo Sabres offense right now. And stay away from Cousins.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not excited about him. If you're in a deep league, you got a lot of teams, 12, 14, this is a stream option. It's not someone that you're going to own long-term. He's a +2 on the season. And I believe that's through the last 3 games. So +2, -2, +2, right? So he's constantly, treading water as far as like the plus minus columns go. He's getting the puck on net more recently. If that's a trend that continues, maybe you could keep him rostered for, you know, longer than a week. But he has at least 4+ shots in 5 out of his last 6. So like, that's a good sign. Like, anytime someone's starting to get the puck to the net more consistently, good things are always going to happen. Every hockey coach will tell you, get the puck to the net, something's going to happen. So if he keeps doing that, maybe he could, stay on our radar. He's only 15% rostered right now, and that's +5 in the last day. So I agree with you. He fits the mold of the Buffalo flash in the pan. I would hold off unless you are in dire need. And again, if you start to see some of these numbers become more steady, you know, he could be a long end hold. There's always like a couple of guys on these bad teams that you can, you know, rely on in fantasy. I just don't think we have enough, you know, proof or enough details yet to say that he's going to be that guy. So, all right, next up, this guy was definitely on a lot of our shows last year covering the waivers. Our boy Anton Lundell, only 34% rostered, which is kind of surprising because I figured he was kind of a fan favorite at this point. He is only a +8 on the season. We're about, you know, almost a third of the way through the year. I think everyone was expecting that number to be like +24. Mm-hmm. He led the league last year in plus minus. He's only got 4 goals. He's only got 8 assists on the season, but he does have 3 goals in 3 straight games. Are we buying that Lundell is going to continue on this pace? It's not a point streak. It's a goal streak.
It's really tough to tell right now because Barkov's out of the lineup and he's day to day. I'm not sure what his injury is, but he is out of the lineup, causing Lundell to come up to the second line. And so he's playing with Verhaeghe and Reinhart. And yeah, he's doing well in that role. He's on the first power play unit right now with Tkachuk and Reinhart. And so definitely a lot of upside there. But I'm really cautiously optimistic about Lundell because I know how he was last year. I know how he goes on these streaks, but then he just goes cold for a while. You look at before this goal streak, he wasn't doing a lot of not a lot of production here. Nothing. And that's what concerns me, because I think that Barkov could come back and then you're going to see a situation where Lundell falls down to line 3 and then Bennett goes down to line 2 and Barkov slots back in on line 1. And so as long as he's in this spot on the second line of first power play, I would hold him. But yeah, I think once Barkov comes back, he's definitely someone you should look to move. And like I said, cautiously optimistic, because you never know what could happen when Barkov comes back or how long he's out for.
He was on the third line last year, and I'm mad that I don't know what his exact plus minus was. I can probably pull it up here, but he was a third line center last year and he was getting it done. I think in category leagues, he should probably be owned, because if he keeps up this scoring, you know, I'm not saying you have to hold him for long, but I think he's worth the pickup, because if he can, again, like when you get moved up the lineup and you play well, they don't typically decentivize your play. They typically incentivize it, right? Like they give you more opportunity, whether it be power play, whether it be killing penalties, they get you more ice time typically, you know, when you do well. And you can definitely see it, because in these last 2 games, he's got 19 minutes and 5 seconds and 21 plus minutes in his last 2 games. He only has 1 game in his previous 8 where he's hit that type of level. So if this is something that we can swing into, a trend that we can, you know, lean into, I think he might be a buy candidate, but I'm going to hold it exclusively for category leagues, because the points aren't there. Like without him scoring those goals, he has just 2 games in his previous 6 where he went over 7 points, and he had a long stretch there where he didn't get over 3. So you have to take the good with the bad there. Category leagues, non-daily ads, when you have to do the overnight ads, I'm going to take a shot on him. I'm going to hope that he continues scoring until Barkov comes back, and hopefully, you know, the plus minus really starts to shoot up. You know, I do think he's a decent hold long term. He's higher than some of these guys that we've been talking about. He's at 34% rostered, so he's the name that I have circled, and someone that I'll trust. Like I said, again, in categories, not point based leagues. All right, next up here we have Matty Beniers getting some playing time. In his last 6 games, he has 9 points, 2 goals, and 7 assists. Are you buying some Matty Beniers?
I'm definitely buying some Matty Beniers. This Seattle team really surprising a lot of people this year. I guarantee you no one expected that Seattle was going to be sitting at the top of the Pacific Division, but they are. And yeah, they've been really solid. Beniers, he is getting some power play time on the second unit with Wennberg and Bjorkstrand. Sitting pretty right now in the second line with McCann and Eberle, because yeah, he's been very solid as of late, and I think he'll stay solid, and I really like his position on that second line, and that allows the Kraken to move a guy like Yanni Gord down to the third line, add more center depth to the team, which seems to be working out for them. And as long as they're winning games, I don't see them really changing up this lineup, and I definitely think there's a lot of upside here when you look at Beniers' points in 4 straight games, and all 3 of those 4 games were multi-point games, so definitely a lot to look at here. I like the schedule. You got LA on the road tonight, but then after that, you got Florida, Washington, and Montreal all at home right after that. And so a lot of upside for Beniers, a lot of upside for the Kraken. Definitely someone I could get in on.
He's just on fire. I mean, he has 2, 4, 6, 7 assists in his last 4 games. So in his last 4 games, there's only 1 game where he has less than 2 assists. That's absolutely crazy. The puck's not getting to the net a lot, but you can tell he's being a little bit more passive. He's distributing, which is great, but he also has 2 goals in his last 3 games. So this is a situation I'm firing him up until he gives me a significant reason not to. Like I said, I would like to see more pucks on net. I'd like to see more shots on goal. But keep bringing the apples, buddy. Keep bringing the apple basket, because the dude's got tons of assists. 7 assists in his last 6 games. Like I said, 9 points total, 2 goals, 7 assists in his last 6, and 11.5 fantasy points per game in that 6 game stretch. So let's hope he stays up here on these top lines and keeps producing for us. I'm all with it. Give me some Matty Beniers. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Justin Schultz. Justin Schultz, yes. Excuse me. I was looking at 2 different sheets. He's also looking really good for the Kraken. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, Buddy's a unit. That's like the best way to put it right now. I had him on the fantasy team, and it came down to me having to make a choice because I took your advice, picked up Philip Hronek, and he's not going anywhere right now. He's been solid, so I had to make the choice between between Siegenthaler and Schultz, and I went with Siegenthaler because of the ice time. But yeah, Justin Schultz, really, really solid production as of late. He hasn't had a game since, about November 17th. So 5 games in a row where he's had 6+ fantasy points and he's gotten on the score sheet recording a point. And so a lot of upside with Justin Schultz here. He's on a Kraken, who are a hot team right now. And yeah, I just was bummed that I had dropped this guy. If I could get him back right now, I would, but it would mean sacrificing too much.
So I want to ask you this, because we also have Adam Larson right behind him. Are you taking the offensive upside of Justin Schultz or the reliable stay-home ability of Adam Larson? Adam Larson, there's a big difference here. He's a plus 18 on the season, plus 18. Justin Schultz is plus 3. But Justin Schultz has 13 points. Adam Larson only has 6.
So I think there's a win on both sides here in a points league like ours. Justin Schultz, the guy to go. He's got the production. His plus minus isn't there, but he's getting the puck on, or he's getting the puck in the back of the net as of late, and he's getting the points. Adam Larson, on the other hand, is a beauty for categories leagues. He's got, I assume he's getting, he's got a lot of hits, I'd assume. I don't have that number in front of me, but plus 18. Yeah, definitely someone that you should get on a categories team, maybe someone for that struggling team you have down there. And that plus minus, I know in those leagues, is huge hits. And I think Larson can contribute to that. And his blocks are there too. I know we only had 1 last game, but before that, you're looking at 3, 2, 3, 4, 5 blocks. He's getting a lot of blocks, a lot of categories to win just off of this one guy here.
And the other key factor here is the ice time. You look at Justin Schultz in comparison to Adam Larson. Like, is Adam Larson just going to run into some production here at some point? He has, and keep it also in mind, the Kraken are 8-2 in their last 10 games. And in those 10 games, the lowest amount of playing time that Adam Larson has recorded is 21 minutes. Most games, he's over 23, 24, 25 minutes a game. He had 2 back-to-back games of 27 minutes between Winnipeg and New York on the 13th and 17th. Does that sway you at all?
It sways me a little bit, but I don't know. Just the production of Justin Schultz when he's on the ice, his ice time has been really meaningful. But no, you can't not know the ice time of Adam Larson here. Like you said, like one of these games, he almost hit 28 minutes playing almost half the hockey game, which is crazy about someone, to think.
Someone played half an hour. I can't remember who it was.
Probably like a Makar, Devontae's. Those two play almost 29, 30 minutes a night.
It was somebody else. But yeah, I mean, like you were saying, with Larson, there's a lot of opportunity there. It's really just kind of picking your poison, because he does have, a similar amount of shots on goal as Schultz. He is getting the blocks. And again, I don't have the hit numbers in front of me either. But if that's something in one of your leagues, he's going to be somebody that's, laying the body. So I think they're both solid. I really can't make a decision who I would want. It's got to be situational. Mm-hmm. I suppose in the points, I guess I agree with you. Yeah, Schultz in the points league and Larson in the categories. But I mean, even in points-based league, Larson has a very safe floor with the shots on goal and with the blocks. If your league is, taking into consideration hits as a scoring, point or whatever, that's great too. That'll definitely boost him up. All right, just a handful of players left here. Next up, we have Sean Monahan of the Montreal Canadiens. I was about to say the Calgary Flames. That would be incorrect. He's looking really good right now. 3 goals, 5 assists in his last 8 games. Is this viable production for you?
I think it's streaming production, but it's not viable. Not someone I would want to buy into long term. He's on the first power play, but on the third line. His ice time is there, but I would want to see a little bit more production, and I'd like also to see his plus minus go up. Being on a team like Montreal, I know that can take a real hit. And, yeah, it's just all going to be about where you're at personally in your league. Because, yeah, he's got a tough schedule coming up. They've got San Jose at home tonight. But then after that, you go to Western Canada for four games. And you got to wonder how many of those games they're going to take playing. They got Seattle on the state side. Then you got Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. All really good teams that I think stack up better than Montreal does. So I will be curious to see what he does. But, yeah, just not there for me yet. But definitely someone that's worth streaming if you need a guy.
Yeah, I'm holding off as well. To me, it's the plus-minus. He has five goals in the season, and two of them came in his last three games. Three of them came in his last eight. So I'm just not betting that this is going to be consistent. It's a nice little streak for him. Tonight would have been really the only night to stream him, in my opinion, because I'm with you. That Western, whatever, that West Coast trip, you know, Seattle's pretty close to Canada as well, like I said. Those are not games I would be on him. Maybe the Calgary game, a little revenge spot. He's, you know, pretty familiar playing in Calgary. So, you know, not too bad there. But other than that, no. Yeah. Tonight, December 1st, that's about it. And that, and even then, it's still kind of a stretch. It's just not trustworthy, in my opinion. This next guy, back from injury, TJ Oshie, has 4 points in his last three games, 9 points on the season. He's a plus two. What do you think about TJ?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value with Mr. Timothy Jimothy over here. He's got that center right wing spot in fantasy, which is huge, because like in our league right now, I'm struggling with my centers personally because I've got Larkin, Suzuki, and Matthews, and so having to decide which one to play because they're all just straight centers. Being able to have that ability to move him around will be really versatile for your team. And yeah, he's played three games and he's got 4 points. And granted, he didn't have any, but they were playing that red-hot Devils team, so I guess that's excusable. But yeah, looking at his line here, he's on the second line with Kuznetsov and Sonny Milano, and sitting on the first power play with Dylan Strome and Marcus Johansson. Granted, it's not the best first power play line, but it's a first power play line.
Is everyone still hurt or what?
Yeah, so you got Tom Wilson's out, Dmitry Orlov out, Nicholas Backstrom out, Connor Brown. Yeah, they are...
Jesus.
They're hurting right now. They got a major medical or something. Yeah, it's not good over in Washington, but they're getting it done. They're starting to win hockey games. I mean, they're winning hockey games. They're not like, you know, running away with these games, but they are coming in and playing close games. I know down the stretch they've had a tough run, but they've gotten a couple good wins here. Good shutout against Calgary, knocked off the Flyers, and yeah, they got a road trip of themselves here. And so I will be interested to see what comes of that.
I'm not pulling for him. I'm not a TJ Oshie fan. If you've picked up on anything from me, I'm not a Blues guy. And I know he plays for the Capitals, but no, I mean, he might as well have that damn big old blue note in the middle of his chest still, if you ask me. I don't care how many times this guy saves America. He's never going to make it on my A-list. I'm not a TJ Oshie guy. I'm going to pass. I mean, I like the production. I don't like the playing time. In his last two games, he's under 17 minutes. His name's TJ Oshie. Bro, you should be playing some more minutes. I don't care how close you are back from injury. I'm not buying it. Not saying it's going to continue, but I don't like him. So take that as you will. Next guy up, Rasmus. Is it Sandin or Sedin?
Sandin.
That A was a U. It'd be a lot easier. Rasmus Sandin, looking pretty good. He's only got 8 points on the season, but... getting a lot of blocks, plus minus is strong. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I can definitely get on some Rasmus Sandin because, like I talked about earlier, this Toronto defense ran by Mr. Mark Giordano is they're struggling right now. And so guys have had to step up and play a role for this team to, you know, barely scrape away with these hockey games, you know, letting up 30, 40 plus shots. And Sandin has been a part of that, stepping up on that second deep pair on the first power play right now. Paired with Mitch Marner, and so definitely a lot of upside there. The fantasy production is there. Put up a goal and an assist in the last game, and while he's not getting points, he is contributing on the plus minus and getting some shots on goal and blocks here and there. So definitely someone I would stream for sure, but not someone I would want to add because I mean, you got San Jose tomorrow, but then you got a tough Tampa and Dallas team on the road, and by then you're already into next week. So it's just all about where you're at with your team personally.
Yeah. It's not someone that I'm really high on, but he has 7 fantasy points per game in his last 7. I don't think it's terrible. Just not someone that really excites me as a long-term option. I'm with you. Just stream him if you're hurting, if you need to fill in a spot that night. Yeah. Nothing that I'm going to consider as a long-term option. Excuse me. Got a couple guys left here. Next up is another defenseman, Sean Durzi of the Los Angeles Kings. Plus minus isn't there, but there's a reasonable production, and he's on a nice streak right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think right now he's another guy that's going to be a really good streaming option right now. And yeah, I mean, he's sitting on the second power play unit. And I watched that game the other night. I think they were playing I can't remember who they were playing. It was like Sunday
Ottawa,
night.
San Jose?
Yeah, it was Ottawa. They were playing on Sunday night. And I saw that second power play unit actually go to work. Arthur Kaliev was up there, and he had a ripper from the top of the circles. I think Durzi might have gotten some action on that. But, no, yeah, a lot, definitely someone that is worth looking into, but plus minus isn't there. I mean, I like the schedule. I like Seattle, Arizona, Carolina coming up. So definitely someone I would be cautiously optimistic about, but just not someone that's for me personally. And, again, you guys know your teams better than we do. So, if, you know, you got an open defensive spot, and he's in your league because he's only 26% rostered. Definitely someone you look at, but definitely not someone that's for me or someone I would hold long term.
Yeah, it's a good trend to buy right now. The minutes are there. Plus minus is kind of so-so. Getting a stick on the puck to get some points, I can appreciate that. But long term, it's kind of tough. I mean, this team isn't winning a lot of games. I do like the upcoming schedule a bit more than their previous games. We got Seattle tonight, Arizona, Carolina, Ottawa, Toronto. Toronto is really the only one that scares me. Carolina, I feel like, has kind of been a shell of themselves, and they're getting them at home. I think that game might be closer than people might anticipate. So I like these next set of games. I would probably not own him after the 6th of December when they go on the road to Toronto. That would probably be my cutoff unless he just really like kicks it up a notch. This next guy I know is a slam dunk, and we're both going to be hammering down on this pickup. Spencer Martin of the Vancouver Canucks. I don't know how he didn't make the top goalie discussion. I guess because he hasn't been playing all season, but he's got 4 wins in his last 5 starts, and he has 6 total wins on the season. He's been looking damn good for the Vancouver Canucks. 13.6 fantasy points per game in his last 5 games, his last 5 starts. And like I said, 4 wins in those last 5 starts. Any disagreement to pick him up?
No, and yeah, with a struggling Thatcher Demko right now, because he's been bad, 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 bad. And so Spencer Martin kind of comes out of nowhere. I didn't really know much about this Spencer Martin guy. And he comes in and he's showing that he can play in the league. Like you said, wins 4 of his last 5. He's getting the shots faced. I know a couple games here, he's faced about, yeah, last game he only saw 26. But before that, you're looking high 20s, high 30s range. So definitely a lot of saves, a lot of shots, a lot of points. Definitely slam dunk for sure.
Just clean up the goals against and we'll be good, man. He'll be a good streaming goalie all season, I feel like, as long as he keeps some, you know, familiarity of this production, which I think he can do. So, yeah, he's looking really solid. 17.6 in his last start, 15.8 the prior, 9.8, 9.6, 15.2. Even in his loss, he had the same amount of points as he did in a win the game before that, 9.8 and 9.6. Right. 9.6 was the loss, and that was a 3-2 loss to Toronto. So looking pretty solid right now. Like you had mentioned, Demko on the downswing. He'll come around again. Very, very skillful goaltender. But right now, you definitely have to roster Spencer Martin. Honestly, if you own Demko, I would go grab him. It's a kind of a similar situation to Jake Ottinger and Scott Wedgwood. I want both of those guys. If I'm really desperate for goalies, because Dallas is just that team this year. I'm getting Stanley Cup vibes. I'm loving me some Jason Robertson. Their offense is flowing. They're typically, you know, a strong defensive team. That's been their identity. Now they're getting the offensive boost. Like they're going to be a tough team to beat. Vancouver, not so great on defense, but they're pretty much always putting the puck in the back of the net. So they're a team I trust to stream a goalie for. All right, cool. Anything to add before we head out?
Yeah, check me out on Twitter, Faceoff with OZ, where I talk about fantasy hockey, NHL, anything with the game of hockey. It's over there, Faceoff with OZ, as well as all ONU Tigers Hockey on Twitter. Follow me and what I'm doing in the college hockey world. No games, like I said, this weekend, but next weekend we're on the road to Indianapolis. So looking forward to that. And yeah, looking forward to another good show next week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Be sure to you know, follow at sports or at gambling podcast on Twitter, the mothership. You can follow me at SGPNJB. Take care, be well, be good. And if you can't be good at it, we'll see you.